trust in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul. All right. You can turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 if you got them. If not, it'll pop up there on the screen. If you have your lift notes, you can get those ready. Encourage you to take some notes and just reflect throughout the week. That's part of our heart of being disciples, is that following Jesus is not just a Sunday morning thing, but that time in the Word can be very fruitful to just ponder throughout the week, really, what is God saying to you personally. Believe that every single time we walk in here, He wants to speak to the open heart. Every single time He wants to say something to you, and then you can process that throughout the week and really say, God, how can, now that you've said this to me, what do you want me to do with it? How can I respond? How can I say yes to you? And that process of turning to Him and saying yes, putting it into action, is really how we grab hold of more and more of His kingdom in our life. So those lift notes are a great place to start. All right. Romans chapter 8. We've already sung about it, but I feel God has an encouraging word for us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are going to start with just one simple verse. Romans 8, verse 11. In the NIV, jumping just right into the middle of it, because I want to help this phrase just smack us with good news. It says, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. One more time. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. As a follower of Christ, another way to say that, as we just sung it, you have resurrection in your veins. Now that statement right there, I believe, is worthy of pursuing for the rest of our life. What does that even mean? The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in me. That's a resurrection mindset, that I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have resurrection power flowing through my veins. What does that even look like? What does God want that to look like? I would call that a resurrection mindset. That I'm not just walking around as a half-living zombie. I got resurrection in my veins. And I believe God wants to encourage us that should mean something. Sometimes when we celebrate Easter, I feel like it is in some ways far away. Even though we're celebrating that Jesus rose from the dead, it feels a bit like out there. Like, what does that actually mean for our lives? And yes, we have. Clearly, it means the hope of eternity, and it means Jesus conquered death and sin, and He has resurrected to prove His power and dominion over all principality, over all death, over all sin, and He is worthy to be worshiped. But I feel like oftentimes it's easy to keep it out there at Jesus proved that He's worthy to be worshiped, and that's awesome, and it's true, and it's biblical, and we absolutely should be doing all that. But where this verse takes us is takes the resurrection that's huge and awesome and out there and puts it right in here and says that same Spirit is in you. So what does that mean when I wake up tomorrow on Monday morning? What does it mean for resurrection to be flowing in my veins? That same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave proved that He was conquering over death, conquering over sin, conquering over every problem. What does that mean for me tomorrow when I wake up with resurrection in my veins? That's what I want to take us to this morning, talk about this morning. I believe it will honor Jesus to say, how can I take that personally? How can I take the reality, as Paul says, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in me? I want to honor you, Jesus. You went to the grave. You went to the cross. You went through hell and back so that same Spirit can be living in me, so that resurrection can flow in my veins. So I want to honor you by asking, what does that actually mean? What is that supposed to look like? And right here in the passage, as the Bible often does, it gives us some specifics. So I want to just run through a few specifics that Paul gives us right here. In Romans 8, 11 to 17, Paul gives us some clues as to what resurrection power in our life will look like. So this whole time, as we hit, there's like three or four things in this passage. I want you to be challenging yourself. Do I live this out? Am I grabbing hold of this? Or have I left resurrection kind of out there at, wow, that was awesome that Jesus did that. And Paul's giving us permission to say, now bring it right in here. So that when you wake up in the morning and the problems come your way and the challenges of life and the pain of life, that you approach that with, wait, there's resurrection in my veins because of Jesus. Now, what is that going to look like? So let's hit a few of them as Paul does. Romans 8, 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also, so here it is, you're included too because of what Christ has done. You are included in that resurrection. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So there is the number one. Resurrection power means life to our mortal bodies. On this earth, mortal, while we're in this life, God cares about what's going on in our body. God cares in this very holistic shalom, as Jesus talked, and he would go places in speaking shalom, that wholeness, that completeness. He modeled that he cares about everything that's going on in your mortal body. It's not just the salvation, and the resurrection power is not just about eternity. It is about right now. And Jesus modeled, I would say very even specifically, it says mortal body, so we'll just talk about that for one moment. Jesus never once turned down a physical healing, showing that he cares about your mortal body in this life. And part of the resurrection power of Christ for us to pursue is to say, what does that look like? For resurrection to flow through my veins, and see God resurrect me even physically right now. Not saying we're going to have our resurrection body, but to see that taste of the kingdom come upon my body right now. Because you guys know, if you have been physically suffering, that takes you out of life. You want to play with your kids. You want to play with your grandkids. You want to be able to work. You want to be able to have recreation. You want to be able to be out. I have my great friend and mentor, Bob Ronglian, who has had two collapsed discs in his vertebrae. 8 years praying for a physical healing every day. Nothing. Had wonderful people praying for him. Nothing. Had the pain level go from like a 3 to a 9 just over these 8 years and just debilitating. And he was 2 weeks ago, just telling a story that just because it encourages the kind of good God who loves to bring that resurrection. If it matters to us, it matters to God. God cares. But everything going on in our life, we're his beloved kids. And so my friend was just telling me this story about as he was hearing a testimony about a woman that he had prayed for with fibromyalgia that had been over a decade with it, and she was dramatically healed, and she was tearing a testimony. He's sitting off to the stage, and he feels his whole lower back go on fire, and at first, he's like, oh no, here comes a pain episode. I'm going to have to sit. Kind of forgets about it because he was going to go on and speak. He speaks, and afterwards, he's like, oh my gosh, my pain is completely gone, and it's been six months to where he wakes up and has zero pain whatsoever. And all that's happening is in the presence of God, as he's hearing a testimony, he gets excited about the resurrection power of Jesus, and it starts flowing through his veins. He didn't even ask for it. And that's just this incredible thing. I mean, he's my friend. He's a person, just like you're a person. And it doesn't feel good to wake up in the morning suffering. And it's just a beautiful thing. He said, I am pain-free for the first time in 8 years, and it's been 6 months. And I just believe that is one of those things. There's mystery, there's questions, there's hardship because you pray and nothing happens. But I just want to encourage you guys, that is part of resurrection flowing in our veins, is as humble children just to pursue that. Just to pursue that. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy and it's going to be every answer prayer just like that. But man, when those answer prayers come, and many of you guys know that. That's been some of my favorite times in here, is when we've prayed for people about other things and then they've shared the testimony afterwards that you didn't even pray or ask for a physical healing, but man, my knee was in so much pain, and as we prayed, I felt God's presence, and now it's all gone. That's just a picture to me of that's the future goodness of the kingdom of God coming to bear on earth as it is in heaven. In his presence is fullness of all the healing that we need, and his spirit flows through our veins. So what does it look like to journey growing in that confidence that resurrection flows through my veins? Or secondly, as Paul moves on, Romans 8, 12, and 13. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Other translations say, we are not obligated to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, this is the resurrection Spirit, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You are following in your lift notes. Resurrection power, resurrection flowing through my veins means I am no longer obligated to sin. As Paul says other places in Romans 6, I'm no longer enslaved to sin. Sin will no longer be my master. And I want to challenge us this morning. In Christ Jesus, with resurrection flowing through our veins, do you have a resurrection mindset in regards to sin? Because I feel like a lot of times I hear people talk about their sin as if it was like their childhood teddy bear / security blanket they don't want to get rid of. It's just like, this is my issue. Yeah, it's my issue. Kind of like it's part of me. It's like, oh, it's my anger. It's my lust. It's my anxiety. It's my pride. Yeah, it's been with me since high school, so it's just going to be my cross to bear. Oh, heaven, no. The Bible does not say that. It says you're no longer enslaved to it. It will not be your master. You're no longer obligated. What does obligated mean? You have to do it. Resurrection flowing through your veins means you don't have to do it anymore. Now, you can give into it, yes, and it can feel very powerful, but resurrection flowing through your veins means you don't have to anymore. There is a new spirit inside of you that you can say yes to. And that's the kind of life I want to challenge myself to. I want to say, in Jesus' name, with resurrection flowing through my veins, no sin is going to be my master. Does that not mean I don't struggle with things? Sure, but I'm not going to give in and give it a power and an identity saying, okay, for the rest of my life, I guess that's my cross to bear. That is just simply, quite simply, an unbiblical idea. We are no longer debtors to the flesh, no longer under obligation. You owe nothing to sin because the resurrection is flowing in your veins. So I want to take the mindset, resurrection's flowing in my veins. So there's a promise that every day of my life, I, by the power of his resurrection flowing in my veins, can have a heart that's transforming to be more like the true heart of Christ. I want to wake up with that kind of resurrection mindset, not a defeated mindset that, oh well, more sin. Resurrection is flowing in your veins. He moves on, Romans 8, 14 to 16, saying, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Number three means resurrection power. Resurrection flowing through our veins means I have a new identity. It says, by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit in us, with that resurrection Spirit flowing through our veins, I've said yes to Christ, and the Holy Spirit is living in me. I now have the right to take on a new identity. I get to call Dad Abba. That is an Aramaic term for an intimate, endearing, like first little word a baby would say to, like, daddy. It's that childlike, affectionate, what would I say first? I have the right to come into God's presence and just say, man, I am so loved like a beautiful, perfect little child because of Christ. I'm wrapped in Christ's robe of righteousness, and I get to come before my daddy. See, many of us wake up in the morning with a resurrection. If we're not waking up with a resurrection mindset, here's the question. Where does your value come from? A resurrection mindset is going to change where your value comes from. If I'm full of stress when I wake up in the morning, and I'm full of pressure, I've got to strive to be good enough, to be successful enough, I've got something to prove, I'm not living in a resurrection mindset. A resurrection mindset flowing through my veins says, when I wake up in the morning, I am already as loved, accepted, and valued as I possibly could be. I get to live from that today because resurrection is flowing through my veins. I'm already a beloved child of God. Nothing is going to change that. Resurrection says I get to live from that place every morning. Number four, moving on in verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Resurrection power flowing through my veins means I don't have to fear the present or the future. That's really the essence of this resurrection mindset battle. If you wake up in fear, you're not tapping in to the resurrection that's in your veins. If you're fearing the present or the future, you're not living in the awareness that you have the same Spirit in you that rose Christ from the grave, from the dead. And think about this. If we've got the same Spirit in us that rose Christ from the grave, then my problems are small. My problems are solvable. There is a solution. There is hope. There is a future. Why? Because Christ already defeated the biggest enemy possible. Death and sin were defeated in his resurrection from the grave. He is already victorious. And so, if Christ can conquer that problem and that Spirit of Christ is living in me, that resurrection is in my veins, then I get to wake up and say, my problems are small today. He already got the big one, the big ones. He already defeated them. So whatever I'm facing is actually under those umbrellas anyway. So my job with resurrection in my veins is to learn how to get under that waterfall of his gracious power that defeated death and sin. Man, and it moves on, kind of paralleling in 16 and 17, not fear, but inheritance. Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit himself, this is the same resurrection Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, check this out, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Resurrection power means that I have everything in heaven. I don't need to fear the future because I am an heir of God, a co-heir with Christ. What is Christ going to inherit? Everything. He deserves everything. And so on the cross, he took everything that we deserved, which was separation from God, so that he could give us, we could be an heir with him of everything he deserves. Resurrection power that's flowing in my veins says, I don't deserve it, but in Christ, it's real. Everything that Christ deserves is mine. It's his gift. It's the spoils of his victory that he chose to share. We are now, as children, as beloved children, heirs of God. God is a happy God who wants to lavish the inheritance of his son upon all of his beloved children. Now, that's got to change how we approach the morning. That's got to change how we approach the day. Resurrection's flowing in my veins. There's always hope. There's always a future that is good in Christ. He only has goodness coming our way. That is a change in mindset. And I believe there's a healthy challenge to say, when resurrection flowing in my veins, healing, redemption, new life, those are the only options I'm waking up with. I want to get like that. I want to speak that truth to myself, regardless of what's coming my way, how I feel when I wake up, what baggage I'm carrying with me, what hard circumstances have come my way, what lies of the culture have come my way, what tradition I've grown up that doesn't allow me to believe this. I want to wake up with resurrection in my veins and say, hello, day. Guess what? Resurrection's coming to get you. It's my only option today. Jesus went to the cross so that we could have that kind of growing confidence. It's not a confidence in ourselves. It's not, I am all this. It's no, the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is in me as a beloved son. It's what he went to the cross for. So resurrection is coming my way. I'm bringing resurrection with me today. Believe there's a healthy, childlike confidence. Are you approaching every day honoring Christ by walking in a resurrection confidence? And here's the contingency, if you will, to conclude the passage. Romans 8:17, after all these incredible promises, and this is just one passage, there's more, many more resurrection promises. We try to trumpet them every week, learn to live on these resurrection promises. This was just four or five from this passage. And then Paul goes on to say, though, something none of us want to hear in verse 17. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. But there's also a parallel in 8:13, also in the passage, skipped over it the first time. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So in the midst of all these incredible promises of resurrection power, there is also a call to be willing to suffer and die. And in this, our lives, like Jesus, they're meant to parallel Jesus's in that it's through death, new life comes up from the grave. That in other words, if we're not putting old ways of life to death, we will not be walking in new ways of life. Death and life cannot dwell together. The Bible says that our old way of life is death. It's the path to destruction. And so if we want to see a new resurrection life come up, we're going to have to be willing to die. We're going to have to be willing to put our old ways, our old attitudes, our old mindsets, our old motivations, our old expectations to death so that we can be resurrected to new life. Jesus said it like this in Mark 8, 34 and 35. Then he called to the crowd along him with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." The journey of being a true disciple of Jesus is the process of dying to our old self, of dying to us being the king and queen of our lives, to dying to doing it on our own strength, dying to being our own source, dying to being our own king or queen on the throne, so that we can be resurrected. And this is particularly challenging for us, is it not? Particularly challenging for our culture. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have the abundant life." And I'll be honest and say we've got to be super careful there, because we as good Americans love abundance. Bring it on, abundance. Just give me more. Do I need it? No, but I want more. Bigger, better, faster, more. Cool. And if we're not very careful, Jesus can help us fulfill a very fleshly American dream. Sure, you want to give me more? I love more. Free? Oh, I don't even have to pay for it? Bring it on, Jesus. And Jesus said, "Hold on. I want to give you an abundant life, but be careful. You have to count the cost of what I'm actually saying. It might not be the abundant life as you think it's described or as the American culture has told you. Not saying every aspect is not good or right. There's beautiful things. But as the process of being disciples, are we willing to say, Jesus, you weren't joking when you said, I'm going to need to die to come alive. So the test for us is, if we don't feel like we're dying in any area, we're not living in resurrection power. If you haven't died, you haven't come alive in resurrection power. That is the message of the gospel, that we would die so that we can come alive. And if something's died, you know it. There's a story to tell. And so that's where we can assess our lives. We can look at our lives. And really, someone should be able to tell you or ask you, and this can be the own litmus test of your life. This could be a great conversation starter. As a follower of Jesus, what areas of your life have died? That's really the test of where resurrection power is happening. Because by golly, we need to die. I need to die to success. I need to die to my expectations of what success is, right? I need to die to, I think I can make a good marriage happen on my charm and charisma. I need to die to think I could produce great, wonderful, spiritual kids by my own wisdom because I've read a lot of books. I need to die to what finances are all about. Who's the source of them? What is their purpose? You know what I'm saying? Am I getting a little too personal for Easter? Well, it's okay. I'm just talking about myself, so I'm sure you're not included. But this is the great challenge of the gospel. I have never met anyone who has truly died and come to life that regrets it. But I've met a lot of people who have tried to make life happen on their own, and more they're living in the regret of the bad fruit that they can produce. So there is a challenge. Death is a strong word. Jesus does not use it flippantly. It's going to feel like Something is dying. Something is being purged. There's a pain in it, but that's good. I'm not saying God is up there trying to torture you with pain. If you've been with us for a while, you know we believe that God is a good father and only wants good things. But I'm going also with the biblical notion that Jesus said it's going to feel like a death. And really what the death is it's that surrendering process to a different Lord on your heart. We don't give up the lordship of our heart very easily. I would say in our culture, we love the idea of Jesus being a savior. Oh, sure. Save me, get me my ticket to heaven when I die. Bring it on. Add that onto the abundance of my inheritance, of my, you know, of my retirement years. This is the ultimate retirement. Great. I need a savior. For us, I would say it's a very hard challenge to also make him Lord. Where Jesus, you are truly the master. That I have taken every area of my life and submitted it to your lordship. I've allowed you to say, you know what? That's not what it looks like for me to be Lord. How you spend your time, how you spend your energy, how you spend your money, how you invest, how you think about this, how this attitude goes here. That's why we say being a disciple is a lifelong process. It is the process to abundant life. But let's make no mistake, it's a call to come and die so that we might be resurrected to new life. So I want to pray for us. We can have the band come on up here. I just want to pray that we would be that kind of church going forward that sees he is worth it. To the extent that you have died, that we have died, that I have died and sacrificed so far, my honest testimony is it's worth it every time. I have never regretted any aspect of my life and say, you know what? I wish I could have that back. I wish I could actually be the Lord of my life in this area again. Though there's a difficult process getting there, Jesus is not joking when he says it's the abundant life. He knows what we need. He knows what we're made for. He wants that resurrection power in us to flow and just bring life everywhere we go and it to permeate all of who we are. Love, he called it. He said that'll be the fruit. Joy, can't buy joy. Peace in the middle of crazy circumstances. A heart that's able to forgive those rather than holding on to that poison that just hurts yourself. True ability to forgive others. To show kindness and goodness that just wells up inside of you. A self-control that says, you know what, I don't need that. I got something better. All of these kinds of things that we impossible to do on our own and through that process resurrected, and they'll be there in increasing measure for our joy and for God's glory. He's honored when you are resurrected from the grave. He's honored when that death that was looming over all of us when we try to be our own Lord, he's honored. He is worshiped. He is glorified when that turns around and we're resurrected and there's good fruit that points to the kingdom of our good Lord Jesus. So let's pray, church, and honor Jesus today and say, Lord, help me be willing to die to those areas I need to so that resurrection can flow through my veins.
I would dance a new dance like David.